Radha Madhava Kunya Vyadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vyadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihadi Gopidana Vallava Girivara Dadi Gopidana Vallava Girivara Dadi Sodanandana Rajadana Ranjana Sodanandana Rajadana Ranjana Jamuna Tidavana Chati Jamuna Tidavana Chati Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihadi Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Chila Prabhupada Jaya Gauranitai Jaya Gauranitai Gauranitai Jaya Gauranitai Jaya Jagannath Jaya Jagannath Jaya Baladeva Jaya Subhadra Jaya immediately. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaunitai ki jai. Hare Krishna, I want to greet all of you at the beginning of our summer camp. I can still feel the devotees in the airplanes coming, devotees on ships, on trains, in cars, and because we are so rural here, maybe some on bullock carts. But we expect during the course of our summer camp, many more people. And we'll also reach out from here to Novi Sad during our Ratha Yatra and our preachings at the exit festival. So we hope that this is an event where many, many devotees and conditioned souls can benefit. I wanted to, in this morning's class, talk a little bit about the subject which will come up during the retreat, or during the my part in the retreat, which will be a glorification of the holy name, both in theory and in practice. We will chant a lot. So I've taken a verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Advaita Chanda Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Please look at the projection. Jaya Sri Chaitanya Chandera Bhakta Chandra Gana. Jaya Sri Chaitanya Chandra Bhakta Chandra Gana. Sabara Prema Yojnaya Ujjval Tribhuvana. Sabara Prema Yojnaya Ujjvala Tribhuvana. something. Jaya Sri Chaitanya Chandrir Bhakta Chandra Gana. Jaya Sri Chaitanya Chandrir Bhakta Chandra Gana. Sabara Prema Yojnaya Ya Ujjval Tribhuvana. Jaya Sri Chaitanya Chandrera Bhakta Chandra Gana. Jaya Sri Chaitanya Chandrera Bhakta Chandra Gana. Sabara Prema Yoj Nyaya Ujjval Tribhuvana. Hare Krishna. If you know better, Metta Maharaj, I'm experimenting, I admit. Yes. Jaya Sri Chaitanya Chandra Bhakta Chandra Gana. Sabara Prema Yojnaya Ujjvala Tribhuvana. Matajis, please. Jaya, all glories, Sri Chaitanya of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chandrera, who is as bright as the moon, Bhakta, devotees, Chandragana, other moons, Sabara, all of them.
Prema-yajnaya.
By the full light of love of Godhead. Ujvala. Bright.
Tribhuvana.
All the three worlds. Translation. All glories to the moons who are devotees of the principal moon, Lord Chaitanya Chandra. Their bright moonshine illuminates the entire universe. Purport. In this verse, we find the moon described as Chandragana, which is plural in number. This indicates that there are many moons. In the Bhagavad Gita 10:21, the Lord says, Nakshatranam aham shashi. Among the stars, I am the moon. All the stars are like the moon. Western astronomers consider the stars to be suns, but Vedic astronomers, following the Vedic scriptures, consider them moons. The sun has the ability to shine powerfully, and the moon reflects the sunshine and therefore look brilliant. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna is described to be like the sun. The supreme powerful is the supreme personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, or Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his devotees are also bright and illuminating because they reflect the supreme sun. The Chaitanya Charitamrita states, Krishna Surya Samamaya Hayandakada Yahan Krishna Tan Nohi Mayara Adhikara. Krishna is bright like the sun. As soon as the sun appears, there is no question of darkness or nescience. Similarly, the present verse also describes that by the illumination of all the moons, brightened by the reflection of the Krishna sun, or by the grace of all the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the entire world will be illuminated despite the darkness of Kali Yuga. Only the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can dissipate the darkness of Kali Yuga, the ignorance of the population of this age. No one else can do so. We therefore wish that all the devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement may reflect the supreme sun and thus dissipate the darkness of the entire world. Please allow me, I'm looking for one more quotation. And yes, here it is.
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyare Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
It's a very nice verse and purport also. All glories to the moons, who are devotees of the principal moon, Lord Chaitanya Chandra. The bright moonshine illuminates the entire universe. In Srila Prabhupada's explanation to this verse, he encourages the devotees to become also moons who give light in the darkness. And the way a devotee can give this spiritual light of Krishna consciousness, this torch light of knowledge, is by reflecting the Krishna sun. Srila Prabhupada quoted this verse, which I think you all know, because he made it the motto of his magazine. Krishna is bright like the sun. As soon as the sun appears, there is no question of darkness or nescience. Let us think for a little bit what it means to become a moon, or someone who can shine light into the darkness. By its very constitution, we, the soul, have the inherent quality to be able to reflect Krishna's kindness or Krishna's qualities. Just like Krishna, we have also qualities of which are able to reflect spiritual light. Sat, Chit and Ananda. We are eternal, we are full of knowledge, and we are full of bliss, yes, in our spiritual position as souls. We have these qualities, and therefore we are able to resonate, if you so want, with Krishna. We can reflect God. You see, not all surfaces can reflect the sun. If you, for instance, have dark brown earth, the sun cannot be reflected. The sunlight is swallowed by it. A polished mirror, however, is very much able to reflect the sun rays. It's very, very, very much able. You can take a mirror, hold it to the sun, and then send a signal with that mirror. I'm not really able to give you the amount of kilometers, but for a long, long distance, the polished mirror can reflect the sun. So by its very nature, the soul is able to reflect Krishna. It
can reflect the qualities of Krishna. It can make a real difference in its environment. However, to do so, the soul requires to or we require to purify ourselves. That's very, very important, and Mahaprabhu talks about this in the first verse of his famous 8 instructions. He says, the dāpana, or the mirror of the consciousness, citta dāpana marjanam, needs to be cleansed. See, a mirror which is covered by mud is not able to reflect the sunlight very nicely. In the same way, the soul loses its quality to reflect Krishna when it is covered by material consciousness, when it is absorbed in material thoughts. Therefore, in our movement for Krishna consciousness, we have regulative principles which help us to not absorb the dirt of the material environment, so that although we are living in a muddy environment, if you so want, in a material environment, we keep clean, we keep our ability to reflect Krishna very, very much intact. I believe, my dear devotees, that this is a grave responsibility which each single one of us has to be aware of. Be aware of darkness, they say. Be aware of things and associations and even people who can again throw, let me say, mud on your mirror of, you know, of the mirror of your consciousness. This really means that devotees have a responsibility to not surround themselves with material things. A very great temptation is to surround, to absorb the negative atmosphere of the Kali Yuga. This temptation has also come into the movement for Krishna consciousness, where very often we just talk things which are not healthy, which are covering the mirror of our mind. The worstest form of prajalpa, which is mentioned, is to talk bad about others. That's the famous sport of the materialists. Have you noticed they talk, there's so much bad talk, bad vibration in the world. When you open a newspaper, it's full of dark things, you know, catastrophes, scandals by the presidents of the countries, murderers, rumors, very, very dark. And in Kali Yuga. And Prabhupada was very aware of this dark talk or negative thoughts. He said to us, please don't look in these newspapers. They make the material world appear so real. they make the darkness so real, you know, as if that is all that is. I remember when I was preaching in New York, I was invited to a radio station. This radio station was different from all other radio stations. It was organized by some intellectual young people, and it had positive news. From all over the world, positive news, significant positive news came in, like groups of people coming together and protecting forests from being cut by the paper industry, and they showed me all kinds of news were coming in, and they were broadcasting this news, because they said at the moment there is a policy in journalism that only bad news are good news. People are only interested to feed their fears with bad news. It's a certain psychological dysfunction in Kali Yuga. People are afraid, they're insecure, and they don't feel everything is right, and they look for confirmation outside, and they find this in an avalanche, and constantly increasing avalanche of bad news. Yes, yes, I was right. Everything is miserable and stinks and goes to hell. That is there in the psychology. It may be that some of us have also some part of this psychology. Fear inside the heart, insecurity, being dissatisfied, creates resonates with negativity outside. You need something to confirm what is in you. You need to find it outside of you. Then you don't have to confront it inside of you. When everything bad is outside of me, I don't have to look for what is bad inside of me. That's how people think nowadays. They have so much negativity inside of them, but they don't want to face that. They don't want to face their own faults, and therefore they locate the evil, the enemy, the threat outside of themselves, not realizing that their unpurified consciousness is the greatest threat to their lives. Yes, this is what you can find in ideas like terrorism, where people think, yes, the Western Hemisphere is so bad, everything is bad in the West, we must sacrifice ourselves for God by attacking it and throwing bombs there. But they don't realize that inside of them is an undelivered soul, a soul which is struggling because of uncontrolled desires and dark and heavy mentality. Yes. The beginning of sectarianism is to see outside of you and criticize what is outside of you, and not purify your own heart. So, in Krishna consciousness, it's extremely important that we again think of how can we purify our consciousness from the, let us say, the contaminations of the six enemies: lust, greed, anger, illusion, envy, all these things. Huh? It is very important that a devotee monitors his spiritual advancement, and he can do so if he really is understanding, I need Krishna.
I need Krishna in my life, and I need to reflect Krishna in my life. You only become pure by associating with the Supreme Pure. Krishna is like the sun, we often hear. The sun has a few qualities. One is to bring light everywhere. But the second quality is it can purify an impure place. You know, we have experience of this when there is a ground where maybe urine was, and the sun shines on that ground, it will evaporate all the dirty liquids, and it will become very soon a very pure place. That is what happens to devotees who associate with Krishna, who look at the deities, who discuss Krishna, who chant his holy name, with a quality of humility and utmost eagerness to be close to Krishna. Then, who eat only prasadam and so on. After some time, and who avoid offenses, who avoid becoming impure again, such devotees, you can see, are very pleasant people. They are pure. They have, by associating with the Supreme Pure. And in this way, they are able to shine the light of Krishna consciousness, the light of the Krishna's sun into the world. Srila Prabhupada wrote once a letter where he brought another aspect of this to light. He said, I don't have the quotation to whom this letter is, but it was written in 1st of August, 1973. You have written so many nice things in praise of me, but I think that my Guru Maharaj is great. I am not great. He is great. Sometimes by the association of the great, one appears great. Just like the sun is great heat and light, and by reflecting the greatness of the sun's light, the moon in the dead of night also appears great. But actually the moon is by nature dark and cold. But in association with the sun, it has become accepted as great. This is the real position. So I thank you very much that you are appreciating my Guru Maharaj, who wanted to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. He is so great. Can you see what Prabhupada does here? He says, yes, you have seen a little bit of my light, but do you know where it comes from? It's not my light. It's my Guru Maharaj's light. I'm just reflecting this. So we have two considerations here, reflecting the Krishna sun by associating with Krishna through the different processes of devotional services, which bring us closer to Krishna. And the second consideration is we can reflect the light of a pure soul, of Srila Prabhupada, or devotees who have who are already a little advanced in Krishna consciousness, and who reflect the light of their spiritual master or masters. I would like to tell you how I deal with this on a personal level. I have noticed one thing now. I mean, I've noticed a few few things, but one thing which maybe is first and foremost in my mind is that in this material world there are many obstacles to Krishna consciousness. And one could involve with fighting with these obstacles. One could spend all his time fighting with these obstacles. But I found there is another approach, that is to strengthen our Krishna consciousness by positive involvement in, for instance, reading in the Bhagavatam, chanting with deep absorption the holy name. And I've seen, as I'm trying to do this, the obstacles seem to go away. There is a saying, don't fight what you hate, strengthen what you love. Because if you focus your energy on negative things, you're still keeping yourself in that negative world. But if you if you fight with the darkness, you're still surrounded by darkness. But if you strengthen what you have, that is your Krishna consciousness, your association with good devotees, your reading, then automatically the darkness will go. I got this idea, or not, I want to illustrate what I mean with a little story which I think all of us can appreciate. It's a funny little story. It's one of these wisdom stories from India where no one knows where it comes from. So this is about a family. They were, let us call them the Patels, for lack of a better name. I have a lot of contact to the Gujarati Vaishnavas. We have many Gujarati Vaishnavas in our societies, and Patel is a name which is very frequently used there. So this family noticed every day how during 6 o'clock in the summer, 8 o'clock, darkness came into the house, and they couldn't see any longer the items in the house. There was no electricity. So they had a family gathering and said, the darkness is like a thief. It comes every day in our house and steals our good vision. This is terrifying. This is very bad. So let us arm ourselves with sticks, and then when the darkness comes, we will beat it. You are laughing, but many of you do this every day, what you will hear now. So they took sticks up, and they, when it became dark, one Patel, Avinash Patel, said, "It's coming, it's coming, the thief is coming. Where, here, in the bathroom. Okay. He enters through the bathroom window." So they all began to beat the darkness with sticks. Then, it's now coming, spreading into the living room. Come here, come here. And they all came in the living room. Then it became really dark, and soon they heard bang, bang, clear, clear. They were demolishing the living room. then as they continued their heroic fight, they began to scream, "Ow, ow, ow! He's beating back, Avinash!" So in this way, the fight was going on. In the morning, the whole house was ruined. They were bruised. They had heavy, heavy beating marks, blue, and so on. And then Avinash said, "We are victorious due to our heroic deeds. The darkness is going away. Do you see? The house is full of light again. Oh, we, the Patels, we're beating darkness." How surprised they were when in the next evening the thief returned. It's the sun which can defeat darkness. Strengthen your relationship to Krishna. That will give you the ability to defeat darkness in your life. Starting with the inner darkness, which takes away the light of your Krishna consciousness. You need to strengthen your contact with the Krishna sun. There's a very nice statement with which I want to end, and then I want to see if you have any questions. Again, I must say, it's in this huge notebook. A few years of making notes is in this book. So, here I have Krishna. Here, the author of Bhakti Ratnakar, I believe, Narahari Sakatakur is the author of Bhakti Ratnakar. I'm looking at our learned Maharaj. Narahari, but I'm not sure of his further name. He said, "O listeners," he points out a very nice process how to increase the light of Krishna consciousness. "O listeners, sink in the ocean of Bhakti Ratnakar by holding the feet of the multitude of devotees on your head." Now he makes his point. Devotion is the possession of a devotee, but becomes available to a devotee only when he or she assists another person in acquiring it. This is a very interesting verse. Let me explain it a little, because it may have gone a little bit fast. We have said so far that we as souls are able to reflect the spiritual light of Krishna. No? We have said that we can come in contact with Krishna, or we come closer to Krishna through the various processes of devotional service, says like reading the Bhagavatam, associating with good devotees, chanting the holy name, residing in a holy place, and worshipping the deities. Huh? We have also said you can reflect the light of a devotee by associating with a great person. You will reflect some of his greatness. And here now another third point is raised. That is, share Krishna consciousness with others, then it increases within you. Who of you has made this experience so far? It is magical, isn't it? Have you noticed? You sit with someone and you give your best
to explain whatever you have understood in Krishna consciousness. And all of a sudden you think, wow, this is good. It's better than I thought, this Krishna consciousness. You feel very encouraged all of a sudden, very inspired. And sometimes you hear yourself saying words, sentences, even entire paragraphs, which you think, wow, this sounds very right, but I wonder where I got it from. Later you find out in reading the Bhagavatam, wow, it's in the Bhagavatam what I said 8 months ago, you know, when I was sharing Krishna consciousness with someone. What has happened? What has happened is that the Krishna Son, whom you try to reflect as a faithful servant, is even enlightening you more. Yes, the mirror has great benefit when it reflects the sun. Krishna is always eager to bring the conditioned souls back to him. He's more eager than we are eager. And that means sometimes Krishna works through us in claiming or convincing conditioned souls. And we find ourselves in a position where we are instruments of Krishna in saving the conditioned souls. And that is the most wonderful experience which a devotee can make. He has tried to come closer by cultivating his Krishna consciousness and serving his spiritual master in some ways. Now he is out in the field and he is trying to reflect the light. And as he tries this, he gets a lot of mercy, a lot of inspiration in Krishna consciousness. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Let me read it again. Devotion is the possession of a devotee, but it becomes available to a devotee only when he or she assists another person in acquiring it.
My dear devotees, you may have heard so much about Krishna consciousness. You may have had association with Srila Prabhupada through his literature. But devotion is now there. You have imbibed it. It's there. But you can only use it fully. It becomes, in other words, like an unpacked gift, so to say, an open gift, only when you share it with others. Then it becomes accessible to you. So this is a few considerations which you can have. I want to encourage you to use this summer camp properly. Be there at the important times. You can find it in the schedule. There's a schedule. It's a very organized schedule. I think it will be available. We will be able to see the schedule. So you can see when the sessions are on. And you can try to come closer to the Krishna Son. Huh? Coming closer to Krishna is the motto of this summer camp. And then you will see how the light of Krishna will reflect in the mirror of your consciousness. You should also see, and it should start in the summer camp, how you can help others to be comfortable here,
You can talk with others about Krishna consciousness as you have understood it. This will be a challenge to some of us, because now Mr. Djokovic is playing tennis in Wimbledon, wherever. I'm not so informed, but I heard yesterday. So you may have to shut off your worldly news and talk about Krishna consciousness. Oh, and not so much gossip also. And you can in this way increase your Krishna consciousness significant. Be free. Live the ideal version of yourself during the summer camp. Try to serve devotees. Try to listen about Krishna. Try to talk about Krishna. And soon you will be a shining moon who will go and do wonderful things in your spiritual life. I thank you very, very much. I will see if you have any questions to this simple talk. Yeah, there's one man who always has questions. I think he is a sympathetic walking question mark. Yes. Hare Krishna. Please, Rezi, speak. I think we have a microphone for you.
In the retreat of chanting the holy name and about the relationship between theory and praxis.
Yeah.
Bhakti yoga is actually the practical teachings. The accent on that is stressed at point. Between theory and praxis. How to balance this relationship between theory and praxis?
Thank you. What a wonderful question. Divli Pitanya. What? Divno. Divno. Not deeply. What? Oh, yeah. Deep no. When we meet devotees, we receive what is called Sambandha Gyan. Who we are, who Krishna is, what this world is. And after we have received it, the devotees will encourage us to enter the world of practice. There's a huge body of knowledge what this practice looks like. It's called Abhideya, the Abhideya Tattva. So, you have asked about the relationship between information and application, or theory and practice. It is seen that only when you use an information and practice it or apply it, then this information stops to being a theory, but it turns into an experience. And it is this experience which is for us the greatest proof that something is true. You can hear
that
a certain preparation, food preparation, is nice, and you can hear about the different ingredients who have all their various properties and qualities, and you can get an idea about a preparation, but only when you eat and digest it can you have the whole the total benefit. So in Krishna consciousness we need to hear the tattva, and then we need to come into shift the gear, so to say, from hearing to application, and only then we will have an experience. Especially when we have now let me talk a little bit about a divine experience. An experience presupposes that you are able to experience it. For instance, as a man, you cannot experience childbirth. You're not able to have that experience. You're not equipped for this experience. So in spiritual life, to make an experience, you need to be qualified. You need to be able to have this experience. And here we come again to the point of this lecture. We need to see that we purify the mirror of our heart. A mirror which is caked with mud or covered with mud is not able to really experience the full sunshine, not the different properties of it. It cannot have that experience. So in Krishna consciousness, it's so much your responsibility to experience Krishna, bring yourself into a position where you can actually experience a real spiritual life. I think many devotees will take great benefit from this. Make yourself ready for the experience. Otherwise, you cannot have it. I'm always thinking about this in relationship to the holy name. Yesterday, we heard how Rupa Goswami experiences the sweetness of the holy name. He is so much overwhelmed that he wants to have many, many millions of ears and many millions of tongues. Do you remember this amazing shloka, this amazing verse which we heard yesterday in some detail about? He just cannot he has so much taste in this. It's amazing. Yes, because he experiences the pleasure, the bliss of Krishna consciousness. You know, you stop yourself from experiencing the nectar of the holy name when you are not carefully guarding yourself against the offenses against the chanting. If you're not on guard, if you don't see where it comes into your own life, and when you where the darkness covers you again, so to say, then you can chant for many thousands of births, it is said. Thousands of births, but there is little benefit or little experience. So, yes, it's very good question. What is the relationship between theory and
practice. The relationship is that between an information and an experience. No? Only by practice you can make an experience. But this practice is something really, really something you have to think about. Again and again, on each level which you are, you have to see, how will this now work for me? And what are the factors which I have to be on guard against so that my experience is not shadowed over and it's not coming? I believe the strongest block to a spiritual experience is the ego. We often hear, protect yourself against lust and anger. No? Don't become lusty or angry. We often hear things like, control your mind when you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But do you know that the mind doesn't follow you? It follows the ego. If you study Kapila's teachings to Devahuti, you will find out that there's first pure consciousness, then there is the covered consciousness, then comes the ego, then the intelligence, and then the mind. The mind is a servant of the ego. It is not the servant of anyone else. You cannot tell the mind what to think very often, for a long time at least. No? You can tell it for some time, but then whoop, it comes up with its own thinking, doing dreams, for instance, or in an unguarded moment, and so on, because it follows the ego. The ego can also be translated as a sense of identity. If you understand, I'm not the body, I'm a servant of Krishna, you have much more purer thoughts than if you identify with a position in Krishna consciousness, or if you identify yourself with a certain role which you play, if you identify yourself with a gender, I'm a man, I'm a woman, you will think necessarily within these categories of identification. Yes, I remember our Maharaj, who's with us, gave a lecture. It was the first lecture I heard from him in my entire life. It was in a summer camp, but I don't remember dates. It was two or three years back. I think it was the first time you came to the Serbian summer camp, and you said something like, jump the category. We must go into a total different new category, that is, we must understand and practice on the level of the soul. Now, I still remember this, and you remember I was blown away. You had talked about Socrates and his insights into this, and how he was not even afraid of his own physical death because he was so convinced of being the soul, and you encouraged us to also advance, and us, your audience, to advance and come to this platform. And you know, when you are on that platform, or at least you identify with it, or at least you try to identify with this, I'm a servant of Krishna, I'm not the body, you have other desires. I saw this morning. I practiced this morning. You know, a filling fell out of my tooth, and this is usually the sign that soon a lot of pain will be there in the body. filling means the nerve is exposed to the khichdi, which Jagannath will cook this morning. And I'm still thinking, should I take it or not? And now I was panicking, you know, oh, I'm an old man and this will be so much pain and oh, this complication now. And then I thought, but I'm not the body. I'm not an old man. I'm a servant of Krishna. Wow! So instead of worrying now, let me sit down and chant. And I lost my anxiety and only now I think about it where I give a lecture, but I forgot about it the whole morning. And because, yes, the mind follows your sense of identity and identification. Obviously, I will try to do something when I go to Novi Sad today to fix it, but because, yes, we should be, the body is our vehicle, we use it in Krishna service. And but I'm just wanting to say the anxieties, the mind follows your identification. It follows that. So this is what I request you to practice during your life. Try to, if you want to have a better life, if you want to have a more controlled mind, you have to start with your identity, your sense of identity. That is important. So now I've taken up all the time. I'm sorry, but your question was so inspiring, and I think I also went on my own path. I will request Madhva Muni now to give us an orientation. You still thinking about?
I think Maharaj had a question, and we are not so in a rush. Uh-huh.
Let us ask Maharaj. He will always enhance everything.
Of Krishna consciousness. So I also feel appreciative for having the opportunity to be exposed to it. I could also relate to the problem of dwelling on the problems a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, I have had personal experiences, and I have experience the same phenomena through other people who have communicated that to me. Let's say this. Now what interests me here in Krishna consciousness, you're also given the analogy of the bhakti creeper, and that around the bhakti creeper sometimes weeds can grow, that we have to be attentive to these weeds and pull them out. So what would be, there seems to be a challenge there, there's a tension between the two, if I portray.
Thank you very much. Would you like to translate it, or should someone? Oh, you have, it's already, okay, yeah, it's done. Good, yes. I would like to give a simple answer and a more complex answer. It is very important that a devotee, while cultivating the positive plant of Krishna consciousness, the Bhakti Lata Beach, looks in the garden of his heart for weeds. These weeds are described in Chaitanya Charitamrita as being six in number, but without going into this, I want to go without going into the detail. Yes, when you do gardening, it's very, very important that you see what are the plant which you wish to cultivate and what are the weeds, because it's interesting, the same water which is used for the growth of the healthy plant is also taken up by the weeds. In other words, the practice of Krishna consciousness, which is nourishing our spiritual development, can also be stolen, if you so want. It can be, usurped by tendencies, like, for instance, to become more important, self-importance, labha, puja, and pratishta are there. Oh, I'm an important devotee now. I'm very old devotee. Oh, I'm a Prabhupada disciple. So many years and so many titles and projects and so on. Yes. And you can also practice. Yeah, all these things can come back. You can become envious. Oh, there's this God brother. He's doing such wonderful service, but I'm really so envious. He has much more clicks on his Facebook than I have clicks on my Facebook. And he doesn't. He has a good internet face, and I have not such a good internet face. Oh, I'm a little envious. So the very practice of, and the very things which you experience in Krishna consciousness, the praise which you can go in the wrong direction. This is, therefore, you have to be really careful. It's like, you know, I can drink this water and if it goes in the right direction, it goes in the stomach. I won't show you, but if it goes in the wrong direction, it goes in the lungs. And it creates a big problem. So yes, we have to be mindful of the weeds in Krishna consciousness so that there is no unwanted accidents happening. And I would say it should be... Now comes the question, to what proportion do we have to be mindful? Yes, it's, Maharaj, you are a very wonderful thinker. In my humble understanding, I give this example with the sun. When the sun rises, the darkness disappears. It is the majority of attention needs to be put on the positive, especially for someone who matures in his Krishna consciousness. In the beginning, when someone is still just coming from the material world and he is very addicted to material things, you know. Yes, then we really have to tell them, vegetarian diet, you know, and no meat, and all these things need to be stressed so that he can at least make a start. But as he advances, and he keeps, of course, he will keep the prescriptions of Krishna conscious life intact. He has to be really aware to increase the Krishna factor, the sun factor, because there are some things which cannot be solved by fighting them, which only Krishna can take. For instance, attachment. Attachment can only be overcome entirely if you have an attachment to Krishna. The soul, by its very nature, needs to be attached. And if it's either attached to the spiritual or to the material. If you are 10% attached to Krishna, you are 90% attached to Maya. If you are 20% or 50% attached to Krishna, you're 50% in Maya. That's why even on a level of bhava, someone can fall down due to material attachments. You know that we have Bharata and so on. So at the question of attachment can only be solved with a higher attachment to Krishna. But of course, and our movement is a movement which preaches as a preaching movement, so we deal a lot with very young spiritualists. But how can you ever develop an attachment if you have these gross shadows in your life working at you and finishing you off? Yeah. This is a little bit my take on it. When you are attached to Krishna, when you feel Krishna closer to Krishna, then very automatically the ego, which brings you into the material field as an enjoyer, is no longer so active. If Krishna is really there in the center, the ego is really pushed out of the center. That's why the ego doesn't like Krishna. Oh no, I'm on this throne. Please, please, please. And then, oh no, oof, oh, you have to go now, Satchinandan Swami. No, no, I'm so comfortable. No. Krishna should sit on the throne of your heart. I'm so accustomed to occupy that place. The ego, and with its attachments to subtle or gross enjoyment, goes only when it's pulled off, when the place is occupied. And you cannot so nicely pull off the ego of the seat. There is this verse, Shrinvata Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hrityanta Sto Hyapadrani Vidunoti Suritsatam. It means by hearing about Krishna, Shrinvatam, and Svakata, his kata, no, about Krishna, his own kata, Shrinvatam Svakata, Krishna, Krishna's narrations, and then the Lord, who's situated in the heart, will take care of all the apadranis, the inauspicious things, and he will make it clean. Imagine, Krishna is willing to become the heart sweeper. And he removes all those things which are very hard to remove, which even yogis try so hard. Oh, they try so hard, but still, it's so difficult, no? Krishna just goes, takes this jaru. We can feel this when we sit for a long time in kirtans, and in the eve, in the night, the kirtan goes on and the still going on. But by all means, the weed work should be done, and not enough. And sometimes we hear of scandals in other movements, also in our movements. Sometimes we have heard because maybe the leaders were not sufficiently aware of the simultaneous work of weeding. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for your question. You know everything. You just want to enhance the discussion. Thank you. So I am now thinking we should end here.